everyone could rise with me, we'll read the word. All right, this morning's scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. This is God's word, it's true, and it's given out of his love. Thank you, guys. You can be seated.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you. So this is going to be a very unique service in the history of Missio Dei. We don't have that long of a history, but in our short time, this is the first time that we have done a Missio Kids graduation here in a few minutes. So we're going to invite some families up and pray over some kids that have graduated from the Missio Kids program and will be joining us in our worship service. But that's in 1 minute. So to kind of get things going, just to prep you for where this morning is headed, this morning is going to be all about our kids ministry, Missio Kids. And so we're in the middle of a shepherding series. That slide is not behind me right now, but called the Good Shepherd, How Jesus Cares for His Church. And we think that kids are a very important part of what it means for Jesus to care for his church. And as you saw a little bit ago during family worship with all the little ones around, kids are a very important part of what it means to be a part of our church here this morning. So we're going to, we're continuing the series on the Good Shepherd and what shepherding looks like. Only this morning, it's a special focus on shepherding children. And what does it mean for us as a church to shepherd the little ones in our midst? So if you're thinking, oh no, he's talking about kids again, it's going to get a lot worse. We're going to talk about kids the entire time this morning. So if you hate children, this is probably not a good place for you. Or maybe it's the best place for you. And by the end of the service, maybe you will repent and come to love children just like Jesus does. So that's where we're headed with this. So a little quick summary of Missio Kids. That's our kids ministry. And the name is very intentional. So our name as a church is Missio Dei, which means the mission of God. And we believe that God is on mission in Falcon, that God has a plan to bring his kingdom to the earth, and he is working that plan, and then we have the wonderful privilege of being invited to join him in his work. And so our kids ministry, we didn't just take the word kids and tack it on to the end of our name. What we're doing there is trying to draw attention to the fact that God's mission also includes children. God's love and God's plan and God's plan for redemption is also intertwined with children and what it means for kids to come to know the good news of his gospel. So if when we first started as a Bible study in our home, it's almost 4 years ago now, which seems like a long time ago. It's gone really fast. But 4 years ago when we first started, I naively told Kelly that we'll be fine. No need for kids ministry. We'll just throw a VeggieTales on upstairs and they can eat graham crackers. And it wasn't long before she told me how that was a very stupid idea, and that is not what we were going to do. And we the joke is always that we stayed as a Bible study in our home until we outgrew our home, which is a joke once you see how small our home is. But the first thing that we outgrew was our kids ministry, because they were our kids ministry at this Bible study was upstairs in our bedroom. I had the wonderful privilege of going to bed after Bible study and having graham crackers in my pillow, trying to figure out what we could do differently so I didn't have to have that as part of my testimony in ministry. But Kelly's work with kids, and Jillian was there right towards the beginning helping as well, and the two of them have done an amazing job leading this ministry. And it's at the point where the most vibrant ministry that Missio Dei has is our kids ministry. We have over 60 kids on our roster back there, and it's the testimonies that come out of Missio Kids is incredible. The way that all of our volunteers lovingly serve these kids, the way the kids impact the volunteers, and then the way that the parents learn from their children as their children grow in the gospel. That's been the neatest thing that's really surprised us with how God has worked in our church. And so this morning, we're just going to spend this whole morning talking about what it means to shepherd children well. And we're going to kick it off with a graduation for Missio Kids. So if you think of our kids ministry, there's kind of bookends. On the first end, it's a baby dedication. When a child is born, the parents bring the baby before the church and before God, and we pray over them. And the parents dedicate themselves to raising the child in a home that honors God. And then as a church, we affirm that we're going to support them in that. And that's kind of the kickoff to our kids ministry. We do from birth to fifth grade. And so the reason we have such an important ministry is because if we're going to be on mission in Falcon, we have to have a vibrant kids ministry. Okay, we can't just push this aside and say that this is not a valuable thing, because there's a thing called necessary and sufficient conditions. Are you guys familiar with that concept? So the way I always heard it explained is with a fire. Okay, right, what your necessary conditions are for a fire. This is a little bit, I think this is physics. I'm not sure what this is. We're giving a little lesson here. The necessary conditions for a fire is fuel, oxygen, and a spark. And if you have all three of those things present, those three necessary conditions, you have a sufficient scenario to create a fire. But if you remove one of those necessary conditions, if you just have fuel and a spark with no oxygen, the fire won't go anywhere. And think of our church as the same type of scenario. Okay, there is necessary and sufficient conditions for what it means to be a vibrant church on mission and being faithful in our community. And if you look around Falcon, we have a higher percentage of young families than the rest of the state. And what that shows us is that a necessary condition for being on mission in Falcon is we need a good kids ministry. Okay, and that's the amazing thing that God has blessed us with. We have a very vibrant kids ministry. But if you took that away from us, we would no longer have the sufficient conditions to be a church on mission in Falcon. So that's why we really emphasize Missio Kids. That's why we're doing a whole sermon on it this morning. But then the next question is always, if kids ministry is so important, then why do we stop it at fifth grade? So because we do birth through fifth grade. And what the researchers are finding is that the typical scenario where a kid goes from nursery all the way up through high school in kids ministry and then goes off to college, those children that are connected to a youth group, 40 to 50% of them, once they go off to college, end up leaving their faith. And that's a terrible batting average. And that is, we're praying very fervently that God would bless our kids ministry, that would not be the statistic that's true for our church. But what the researchers are finding is one of the ways to mitigate that problem is if children beginning after fifth grade in their junior high and high school years, if they can be connected to people older than them and younger than them, that statistic kind of wipes out. And there's a very good chance that those kids will end up being mature Christians and sticking with their faith even through their college years. So we call this a 5-to-1 ratio. And what these researchers have found is if a child has five different adults in their church that they can identify as having a relationship with, and that these adults point them to Jesus and are a model of what it means to love Jesus, then these kids will grow up and they will see that Christianity in the church is a vibrant part of what it means to follow Jesus. And then that'll carry them through their college years. And so part of the reason why we're doing this morning is I want to introduce these kids to you. These young men and women, or young man and woman. We only got one. Caleb's the only dude going to be up here in a little bit. But I want to introduce them to you so that you can be praying for them, that you can know their names, and you can reach out to them as an example of what we're talking about, this intergenerational ministry. And the neat thing about all six of the kids that are young adults that are coming up here in a little bit, is they've done an amazing job serving already. They're really great models of what it means to love Jesus and to serve. And the five young ladies that'll be up here, they've already been serving in Missio Kids in the nursery. And they do a great job loving the babies back there. And Caleb helps with PowerPoint from time to time, and he does a great example of serving as well. And so this is really a neat thing for our church, where we can celebrate these kids. They didn't all go through Missio Kids the whole time, but this is our junior high ministry kind of kickoff with the graduation this morning. So it's a really big event, and that's a very long ramp into them coming up. So if you are the young adults that are graduating, if you can come on up with your parents, we would love to pray for you right now. And we actually have a gift for you. It's an ESV study Bible that has your name on it. And what we're praying will be a tool that God uses in your life to grow your faith. So just kind of come up and line up with their parents. So we got Anna Zeal, Elizabeth Marshall, Haley Peterson, and then Caleb and Kaylee Haller, and where's Grace? And there's Grace Johnson as well. So these young men and young women have been an amazing example. Let me squeeze right in here so I don't look like I'm standing out in front of everyone. An amazing example of God's work in their lives. And so what I wanted to do this morning was introduce them to you. We're going to pray God's blessing over them, and then we're going to just welcome them to our church, this part of our church family, okay, the worship environment in here, because they're going to be sitting at your tables moving forward. Okay, from sixth grade on, these young adults will be at your tables engaging the discussions. They'll be helping process this sermon, and we want to really do a good job of integrating them into our church culture. That's really our prayer and our vision. So I'm going to pray for each of you right now, and if you are comfortable, just maybe reach out a hand from the audience and the congregation, agree in your spirit as we pray God's blessing over these young men and women. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the six of these young adults up here and the way that you have done a mighty work in their lives. I thank you that you are a God who is powerful and loving, and you've been drawing them to yourself. I thank you for their parents that have done such a great job of raising them in a home that loves you and pointing them to the good news of the cross. And I pray that now as they leave this Missio Kids chapter behind and they enter into the adult worship service, that you would just continue to build their faith, to ignite a deep passion for you, that they might be examples for all of us of what it means to fervently pursue you. I pray your blessing on their lives. I pray that as they enter junior high and high school, that you would use them powerfully on mission in their schools, that they might proclaim the good news of your power and love to all those that they see. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to go ahead and welcome them to the worship service. Thanks, guys. So you can be seated. Thanks. And so if they are sitting at your table, one of these young people, or you, after the service, just go up and give them a hug. And if you don't know them, introduce yourself and congratulate them. And so, like I said, this is the first time we've done this. But if you've been back there, there is more to follow. There's going to be quite a few kids that we're going to keep doing this with. And the reason that we're spending this whole sermon talking about Missio Kids this morning is because we really set the foundation for why we see children's ministry as such a vibrant ministry for our church. And these kids are just a great example of what that means. So we're going to study the Word this morning. It's going to be a little bit more topical than normal. We have four different passages we're going to bounce around from. They will be on the screen behind me, but if you want to look at them in your Bible, there's either use your Bible or there's a table Bible as well that you can use to get going. And we're going to start off with probably one of the more popular passages when it deals with children in the Bible, and that's Jesus in Mark chapter 10 and the way that he engages kids with his ministry. And so Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. And while you're turning there, I know I just prayed, but let's say a word of prayer over our time of study of the Word this morning. God, I thank you for this morning and for each person here and the work that you have done in their lives to get them to this point. I pray that whatever tension we might have brought in our hearts as we entered this place, I pray that your love would just melt that away, that we might be able to look into your Word clearly, to have ears to hear and eyes to see what it is that you have for us, and that we might all leave this place this morning more in love with you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Amen. So Mark chapter 10, verse 13, I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll spend some time talking about it. And they were bringing children to him, to Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. So, like I said, this is one of the more popular verses of when you need a text to go to show that kids' ministry is important, this is where we always head. But there's a lot going on here that's way deeper than just, oh, Jesus likes kids, and you should like kids too, right? There's something a lot more going on here. The first thing that we see is that the disciples rebuked the children from coming to Jesus. And that word rebuked is very strong. It's actually the same word that Jesus used a chapter earlier than this to rebuke the demons. When Jesus was casting demons out of them, he very forcefully rebuked the demons because of who he was. And now the disciples are using that same tone with these children. Okay, they're saying that these kids are not worth coming to Jesus. They're hindering his ministry. He has important things to do, and they rebuked these kids. But then look at Jesus' response. It says he became indignant with them. So the force of the disciples as they tried to keep the kids from coming to Jesus, Jesus rose to the occasion and swatted it down. He became indignant. He was upset that his followers would do something to hinder the kids from coming to them. It says, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And so what we're seeing here, this is kind of the theme for the rest of the morning, is our shepherding series has been getting at this idea that Jesus cares for his church. What we're seeing here is that Jesus cares for children because children are a part of his church. Okay, they are not the church of the future. They are not the B-team church. That's not little church back there. They are the church. They are a part of what it means to be the family of God. And because of that, we need to value what it is that Jesus is doing here. We need to value kids' ministry as well. So there's two things. He says that they are an example of the kingdom and they shouldn't be hindered from coming to him. So let's talk about how do we hinder kids from coming to Jesus? I think there's two different ways that we do this. One is by not valuing children's ministry. Okay, and a lot of times that means we turn it into childcare. we think that all of that's going on back there is babysitting. So you put your little blue t-shirt on and you're back there with the babies making sure they don't cry too much. And if they start crying, you shove a graham cracker in their mouth and you just try to keep everything calm. Okay, that's a lot of churches. That's how they engage children's ministry. And at that point, it becomes just childcare. It's nothing more than babysitting. And what I think the application from this text is if we're doing that, we are hindering the children from coming to Jesus. Because we're telling them that they're in a holding pattern. They're in a holding area waiting until they're old enough to understand that Jesus loves them and that this gospel has an impact in their life. That's preventing children from coming to Jesus by not valuing kids' ministry. The other thing that we can do to hinder kids from coming to Jesus is not teach the gospel. Okay, there's a lot of terrible teaching, especially in kids' ministry, that is just nothing more than moralism. You know, like you read the story of David and Goliath, and the takeaway is David was really brave, and you should be really brave too. And we take all these amazing stories that are actually about Jesus and that point to the good news of the gospel, and we water them down and say that they're nothing more than this guy was brave, so you should be brave. This guy was good, you should be good too. And that's teaching moralism. And that's not at all what we're supposed to be about as followers of Christ. And if we teach them moralism, what we're doing is we're hindering them from coming to Jesus. We're training our kids in this legalistic thinking that says, if you're good, God will love you. But if you're bad, then that means God hates you. When instead what we're trying to do is say, God loves you because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. We're saying it's not about being good or bad. We're all evil apart from Jesus. But because of the work that God did by sending his son, we can have grace and forgiveness. That's what it means to lead children to Jesus. We're not pointing them off on something else, telling them that just to be good and try to behave. We're saying that they need to pursue Jesus by understanding the gospel. And there's actually, we had a really neat story from Amanda. When we were first getting started, Samantha was probably 3 or so. I don't know, I'll tell the story, you can tell me how old she was at the end of the story. So they were visiting another church, and Samantha was 3 or 4 at the time, and called our church Little Church, and then the other church was Big Church. And so Amanda asked Samantha what, maybe this is not a true story, I might just be making this up, we'll see. Amanda asked Samantha, what did you learn at Big Church? And she said, oh, we don't learn anything at Big Church, we just do crafts. At Little Church, we learn about Jesus. And I thought that was one of the most poignant examples of what it is that Missio Kids is about. Okay, we're not just doing crafts. We're not just playing games. We're not just trying to have a good time and keep them back there out of your hair until we get done with church in here. What we're doing is we're pointing them to Jesus. We're teaching them about Jesus because Jesus loves kids, because kids are a vibrant part of his church. And then Jesus, the other thing we see from this passage, though, is that Jesus actually says that the kids aren't just, you know, a good thing to bring to him. They're an example for all of us of what it means to follow him. It says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So in some ways, kids aren't following us. They're actually leading the way as an example of what it means for us to follow Jesus. And what I think Jesus is pointing to here is that kids naturally know that they're not good enough on their own. Okay, if you're a kid, you have this innate understanding that your dad is stronger than you and that you need your dad to protect you. You know that your mom provides for you. You know that she cares for you, and you know that you need that love and that care. And it's only once we become adults that we convince ourselves that we're beyond that need for provision or care or love. But what Jesus is saying is if we have that faith like a child, if we approach him like a child approaches his father, we're close to the kingdom of God because we understand our own spiritual poverty and our need for him to come and fill us. Okay, so kids aren't just another segment of the church. They are an example for all of us of what it means to follow him. And that's one of the neat things about kids' ministry. When they understand the gospel, they actually do some amazing things to teach us what it means to follow him. We had another story from a parent whose daughter was 4. Apparently 4 is kind of the age you want to just record everything they say because it's going to be really good. So this daughter was 4, and she was riding in the back of the car with her mom, and she said, Mom, what are some idols in your life that keep you from coming to Jesus? And it's like, that's a very profound statement. That's what we all want to hear. And so then this mom and her daughter had this long conversation about idols and what it means to follow Jesus and what are some things that hinder us from coming to him. And it was this really sweet conversation that they were able to have together. So if you're wondering how we get all these stories of kids And what they're telling their parents is we actually put a microphone in their little brown bags and we bug them on the way home so we can hear what they're saying. And not really, that's kind of creepy, but we're, anyway. So what we're seeing from this passage is that shepherding children is a very valuable part of what it means to shepherd Jesus' church. Okay, Jesus cares about children because children are a part of his church. There's no such thing as child care. It's children's ministry. And there's so much in our culture that pushes us towards this, thinking of it as babysitting mentality instead of viewing it as ministry. And so the reason we're spending this time this morning is to help us all make that shift and saying, you know, whether we're serving a Missio Kids or not, we need to view what's going on there as ministry. Don't just view it as a random interaction with a kid in the hallway. View it as a way that you are pointing them to Jesus. You're showing them the good news of the gospel and what it means to follow Jesus. So I think this is a good point also to stop and talk a little bit about those in our community that don't have children, okay? And because a lot of times when we're talking about kids, and especially a church like ours that has a huge percentage of children, I tell this all the time, but there's 40% of our church is kids, which most churches have around 10 to 15% kids. But we almost half of our church is children. And if you're here and you don't have any children, this can be a very painful environment to be in sometimes because it feels like you're missing out on something that everyone else has. And that's where I want to just really hone in on the fact that God is near to the brokenhearted. And if being around kids makes you feel a longing of your own emptiness and how you don't have that part of your life fulfilled right now, we know that God is near to us when we're brokenhearted. We know that God loves us. And we also know that God still uses us in some very powerful ways in kids' lives. So whether you're an empty nester or whether you've never had kids, God has a plan for you to build up these kids, to shepherd these kids, to have an impact on their life. I know Lloyd and Sandy, one of my favorite, or our kids' favorite parts of the Sunday morning is when they get to talk to them after church. And they talk to Mr. and Mrs. Osborne and hear how they're doing. And they tell them about their week and stuff like that. And it's that kind of care that they show our kids that shows that Jesus is real, that shows that Jesus is powerful and that there's something to this. This isn't just a social club. It's we're all pursuing Jesus together. And if you're here and you don't have a kid, you're just as much a part of that as those of us who do have kids. Okay, God has a plan for you. And this is also a good place to talk about the adoption fund. We use part of our mission fund to set aside, if anyone in our church feels led to adopt, we want to help support that and fund that because it's such an expensive calling. We want our church to be behind that 100%. But even if you don't ever end up adopting or having a kid, God still has a role for you in serving and ministering to kids and pointing them to Jesus. And here's how I know. Let's flip to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It'll be on the screen if you aren't able to flip there. And let me read this passage. This is one of the most famous passages in the Old Testament. This is called the Shema in Hebrew. It's the first word is Shema, means hear, and this is the centerpiece of Judaism. This is the very focal point of what it means to be a Jew who follows God, and especially in the Old Testament. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And so the reason this was the centerpiece is because it starts off by declaring the character of God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And if God is powerful and if God is worthy of worship, what is our response? Our response is we should love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We need to pursue God with everything that we have. And then because of that, we need to teach the goodness and the character of God to the generations that follow us. And it's not just we have set aside times where we do, okay, now it's time for Bible time. All the kids go back there and we teach them about Jesus. But rather, it's an integrated part of all of our life. It's as you sit down, as you lie down, and as you rise. As you sit down to eat, as you walk along the way. Basically, he's just saying any time in life that you are living, you're to be teaching the good news of who God is to the children that are among you. Now, and this is where a lot of times we view this passage as a personal family mission statement. So what it means to be the Schultzes is it means that we need to write these things on the doorposts of our house because we want to teach our kids about God. And that's an important part of it. But that's limiting the application of this passage more than what the author is actually doing, more than what God is saying. Listen to how he starts. He says, "Hear, O Israel." This is a command to the entire nation of Israel. This isn't just a command for people who have young kids. This is a description of what it means to be the people of God on mission with God. If we're the people of God, this needs to define all of our realities. If you don't have young kids at home, this verse still applies to you. We're to teach those in our midst of the goodness of who God is. This isn't just for people with young kids in their house. This is a corporate calling. This is a communal calling. And so again, if you're here and you don't have kids, you're just as much a part of this as everyone else. It's going to look different for you, but God is still calling you to do something with this. And so if God is calling us to do children's ministry, even if we don't have kids, what does that look like? And I think the answer is this concept of becoming spiritual parents, spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. So flip back to the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is he's really taken it to the Corinthians. They're a church that's messed up on a lot of different fronts. And so Paul is telling them what it means to be a correct church that actually follows God with all their activity. And in the beginning of chapter 4, he's laying out his qualifications. He's saying, "I'm an apostle sent by God. I have authority. And because of that, you need to listen to what I'm saying." But then listen to how he ends that section where he's describing his authority. Verse 14 of chapter 4. "I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me." So he's admonishing these people. He's encouraging them. He's pleading with them to listen to what he has to say. And then I love what he says next. "Because though you have many guides, you do not have many fathers." That's such a beautiful picture of all the different ways that the world pulls on our children. Okay, so our kids are in T-ball right now, which is a very unique kind of chaos. If you haven't seen T-ball before, just go to some park and watch all the chaos that happens when, you know, a four-year-old hits a grounder to second. That should be a really simple play, but all of a sudden chaos erupts. There's 18 kids running everywhere, and the parents are all screaming whatever it needs to do. It's the most chaotic thing you've ever heard. And so the ball's sitting there at second base, and there's parents yelling, Johnny, throw it to second. No, first, third. Like, everyone's yelling all these instructions at these kids, and these kids have no idea what's going on. They're just running around trying to do their best. And there's all these guides in the benches that are trying to tell them what to do. But you can always tell the kids that have really worked with their dad or with their mom, that they have a really good relationship with their parent, because they're able to hear the voice of their dad saying, "Throw it to first," and they pick it up and they throw it to first. Okay, there's a difference between being a guide and being a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. Our kids have so many guides in this world. There's so many things in the media and from peers, from other adults that are saying, "This is what you should do. This is what you should be. These are the values you should embrace." There's no limit to the number of guides that our kids have. But like Paul's saying, they don't have many fathers. They, by implication, they don't have many mothers. And then because of that, look what Paul says. He says, "For you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel." He became their spiritual father through the gospel. Because of him proclaiming the good news of Jesus to them, and because of them growing in their faith under his ministry, they were his spiritual offspring. So as far as we can tell, Paul was always a bachelor. Some people think he might have been married before he got saved, but most likely Paul was a bachelor who never had any children. But you look at his life, and he had a ton of children. He had a ton of spiritual offspring, of people that he had taught the good news of Jesus, and they had grown up in their faith. And in a lot of ways, Christians all over the world, we are his spiritual descendants. Because of how God used his ministry, the world was forever changed by the power of the gospel. And so through the gospel, even if you don't have kids, you can become a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. And also, parents, if you do have biological children, this verse is for you also. There's a lot of biological parents that don't ever have spiritual offspring. As a follower of Christ, it's your job to reproduce your faith in your children. Now, ultimately, you can't save your kids, right? It has to be the Holy Spirit drawing them to himself and lighting their heart on fire. But as parents, we can do everything possible to disciple our kids and to point them to Jesus and to pray that God would ignite their hearts with a love for him at the earliest possible age. So we need to have spiritual children, whether we have biological children or not. And so the way that we do this as a church is through this Missio Kids ministry. But one of the reasons we're talking about this morning, have you noticed I've said that like 12 times? One of the reasons, there's like 12 reasons why we're talking about Missio Kids this morning. But one of the things we've noticed is that we haven't done a really good job of integrating what happens back there on Sunday with what happens in all of our homes on Monday. And so our vision for kids ministry is on that sign that you'll see by the check-in table that says partnering with parents to make disciples. So it's not our job as kids volunteers to make disciples. It's our job to partner with the parents to make disciples. And that means what goes on there is supposed to be a coming alongside and a supplement to what you're doing in your life of your home in shepherding your children. It's supposed to be pointing them to Jesus, and we're giving you a head start on the week. And we also, what we want to do is we want to equip you parents throughout the week with tools to better disciple your kids. And so the way that we do this, the most important way, is through the curriculum that we use, and it's called the Gospel Project. And it is an amazing, amazing thing that I'm sure if you have kids, you've seen these little cards that they come back with. And these cards aren't just for them to collect or to throw away and forget about. Okay, these cards are actually a tool for you to better disciple your children. And so if you look on the back of it, they're going through the book of Judges right now. And on the back of all these cards, there is a description of how the story that they learned in the Old Testament actually points to Jesus, the Christ connection. And there's a memory verse that they're working on. And then there's all these questions that can get them going, including they have their coloring pages, which that's one of our beautiful artists back there who's in a very purple mood that morning. But on the back of the coloring pages, there's some discussion questions for you as parents to get your kids talking and processing what it was that they were doing back there. And this is not just something that we're spending a lot of money on because it's a cool marketing program. What it's doing is we want to give you the tools so that we can partner with you as you disciple your children. And so, like I said, it's not child care, it's child ministry, it's children's ministry. And so if you are parents, we're wanting to come along beside you. If you have any problems, if you're struggling as a parent and what it means to disciple your kids, that's what the church is here for. That's what your tables are here for. If you look around your tables, there's probably someone there that's already a stage ahead of you in their parenting journey. And that's what it means to be the community together, that we can all help support each other as we raise our kids. If you're not a parent, or if you are a parent, though, all the application from this is serving in kids ministry. So you knew that was going to come eventually, right? The pitch to sign up for Missio Kids. And we have an amazing number of volunteers in our church. It's almost 80% of our adults serve in Missio Kids, which whenever I want another pastor to feel jealous, I throw that stat out, and they're just floored about, oh my gosh. And I'm like, well, we have some amazing people that God has done some amazing things in. And so if you are serving back there, know how valuable your service is. It's not childcare, it's children's ministry, and you're doing an amazing job of partnering with these parents as they make disciples. And as I said, partnering with parents is the vision, but as we all know, in our broken culture, there isn't always a parent there to disciple their kids as well as we would like. And so there's a lot of places where, as Missio Kids volunteers or other adults at the table, it's our job to step in and be that spiritual father to those kids. And so whenever you talk about kids ministry, everyone always feels like you're talking about prison, right? Instead of an orange jumpsuit, we have blue T-shirts that everyone wears, right? So have you guys seen Shawshank Redemption? It's a great movie. And there's solitary confinement, right? They call it the hole. And no one wants to go into the hole. And that's how a lot of people view kids ministry. But then there's this one scene where Andy, the main character in Shawshank, has to go to solitary, and he comes out, and they ask him, how was it? And he said, it was fine. It was the easiest time I ever did. And they're all like, no way. There's no such thing as easy time in the hole, right? And there's no such thing as easy time in kids ministry. What are you talking about? But what he was able to do in this movie to keep him going through this solitary confinement is he had hope of what would be beyond this prison. And it was his attitude, it was his mindset that shifted his experience in prison. And in some ways, this is a terrible explanation. I should not be comparing our kids' ministry to prison. But I'm saying that to those of you that might be feeling discouraged about that, that might, when you get that invitation on your email that says, you've been scheduled for Missio Kids on June 5th, that if your heart kind of sinks a little bit and you're like, oh no, what does that mean? I'm trying to encourage you right now that what matters isn't you're doing back there. What matters is your attitude that you bring into it. If you view it as childcare, you will be counting down the hours on the wall with a piece of chalk, just like someone in prison. But if you view it as kids ministry, as discipling these kids, and as Jesus said, if they're an example to you of what it means to follow Jesus, you'll be able to engage that service with joy. And you'll know that God has called you to something very special there. And that's for the men also. We have a lot of men that serve back there in Missio Kids, and we love that. Okay, kids, especially little boys, need to see an example of an older man who loves Jesus. And a lot of times in churches, we relegate women to kids ministry, saying that it's something that only women are called to do. And that's not at all true. Like, men and women together, we are back there partnering with parents to make disciples. And so I want to talk to you now, what if you aren't serving in Missio Kids? We're going to wrap it up with this. What if those days have come and gone and that's kind of a season behind your life? What then? What does it look like for you to be shepherding children in our church if you don't have kids or if you're not actually feeling called to serve in kids ministry? And I want to read this in conclusion, this psalm from Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 17 and 18 says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. And this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible because it's this picture of the psalmist praising God, saying that he can look back on his own youth and recognize that God was working in his life. And his prayer isn't that God would just protect him and provide for him in his current existence. He's looking to the future and saying that he earnestly wants God to give him the strength to endure well, so that by the time he gets to the end of his days with gray hairs, he can look back on his life and say, I have proclaimed your might to another generation. I've proclaimed your power to all those to come. And so if you look around our church, we're a lot of young families, and there's not a lot of gray hairs in the room. Okay, but if you are here and you have some gray hairs, even Perry, right? Perry, you're doing well. know that this verse applies to you. Okay? Your work is not done. There's this American idea of retirement that we bring into our spiritual life that says, hey, I put in my time, I'm done now. But what God's saying here is even when you get to old age and gray hairs, it's still your job description to proclaim God's might to another generation, his power to all those to come. And so that might look different. You're probably not going to be called to sit on the floor with the babies in the nursery. But God is calling you to still proclaim his goodness to another generation. And that's why we're pairing this morning with the graduation we just did. Because you don't have to go looking for another generation. They're sitting at your table. They're on the other side of this wall behind me. And so if you are someone that God has blessed throughout your life, you're not done yet. Your job is still to proclaim the goodness of God. And if you're here and you don't have any gray hairs yet, Lord willing, that's coming. God will sustain you. But this is your target. Okay, this is the goal of what you're shooting for. We would all hope that God would give us many years on this earth so that we can proclaim his power. Not just so we can be comfortable and enjoy retirement and travel and all those things, but so that we can proclaim God's power to another generation, which is why we're doing all of this. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning and for the way that it challenges our cultural mindset that says that the kids don't have value or that they're not worth ministering to. And God, we believe that you are a good father who loves your children, and that includes people from before they are born to the time they take their last breath. And I pray that as a church that we would be a community of believers that proclaims your might to all the generations to come. We might not be selfish or inward focused, but we might serve and love the little ones in our church well, that they might grow up and proclaim your goodness as well. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. And so, well, if this is your first time here, we're glad to have you this morning. And what we're going to do now is take the next 8 to 10 minutes, and we're going to turn in on our tables, and we're going to discuss and process the stuff that we just talked about. So we have a few questions to guide us. But as always, know that there's no pressure to say anything beyond what you're comfortable. We want you to feel comfortable, relaxed. Just speak as you feel led. There's no pressure at all. But know that anything you say, we invite you to join in the dialogue. And in order to do that, we have some questions to get us going. First of all, think of a person who blessed your life as a child. What was it about them that made an impact? You know, we all have those third grade teachers or that fourth grade Sunday school teacher, or those people that point us to Jesus and had a powerful impact. What was it about them that made a difference in your life, and how should we try to emulate that? Secondly, how is God leading you to shepherd children? What are you already doing, and what are you feeling led to start doing? So maybe some of you are feeling like maybe signing up for Missio Kids is what God's calling you to. Maybe this is going to change how you view when you serve back there, or maybe it's just you're going to pick one kid and you're going to make sure you give them a high five every Sunday because you want to be one of the adults that invests in that kid's life as they grow up. You know, what is God calling you to do? And then lastly, we always end with, how is this good news for my neighbor? But this morning we want to end with, how is this good news for the children in my neighborhood? If Jesus cares for children because children are a part of his church, how does that view the way that you interact with the kids that come knock on your door selling Boy Scout popcorn or Girl Scout cookies, whatever it is that they're selling? You know, what does that look like in your neighborhood? And we'll do that for a few minutes, and then we'll wrap it up with communion. Thanks. All right. Now we'll bring it back together here as we head into communion this morning. And if you've been around Missio Dei for a while, I'm sure a lot of what we talked about this morning sounds like old hat to you. But I also want everyone to know that if you are involved in Missio Dei, the kids ministry is going to be one of those things that we just continually to hammer home. It's going to be a drum that we beat repetitively. And if you get to the point where you're sick of hearing about how valuable kids ministry is, then we're just getting started. We're going to keep hammering that one in because it's so important. There's so many young lives back there who need to be impacted with the truth of the gospel. And we don't ever want this to be something that it's assumed that that's what's going on. We want to keep that always in front of us, calling us to this vision of discipling children, of partnering with parents to make disciples. And so that's why we spent a whole week on this passage this morning. And next week we'll be in 1 Peter 5, wrapping up the shepherding series before we head into 1 and 2 Thessalonians for the remainder of the summer. So we're going to be continuing to do the verse-by-verse walking through whole books of the Bible for the most part, beginning with 1 Thessalonians here in a few weeks. And that'll always kind of be the bread and butter of what it means to be here at Missio Dei. But the next thing we're going to do, just because this morning is different on so many fronts, we're going to pray for Perry and Katie. So Perry, if you guys want to come on up here. Perry has been preaching for us for about a year and a half now. He's the closer, right? When you need someone to come in and finish the game, like he brings in the good sermons and gives everyone a great teaching from the Bible. And so we are an elder-led church, which means that we believe that the way the Bible describes church government is that it should be led by a group of servant leaders who are elders. And Perry has been serving in this role for a few months now. We're calling him a transitional elder because we don't have an internal elder board up and running yet. That's something that part of being a church plant we're working towards. But Perry, in the meantime, has been doing a great job of providing some oversight and helping lead our church well, not only through teaching, but also through his wisdom and helping with decision making. And so I wanted to introduce him to you in this role because this series of shepherding, God calls elders to be his under shepherds. And Perry has been doing a great job of that. I wanted to introduce him to you as a transitional elder while we're getting our elder board up and running. And I'm just going to pray over him and Katie right now that God would continue to bless their ministry. And well, you're getting a lot of screen time this morning, aren't you, between being up here with Elizabeth and
it's
all the gray hair, right? Yeah, he's passing it on to another generation, those of us that are so much more immature than you is what it is. So let's pray for Perry and Katie. And then I'm going to go ahead and pray over our time of communion as well. And as soon as I say amen, we'll just go straight into singing and we'll take communion together as a body of believers. And if you're unsure how to do communion, there's some notes on the bottom of your discussion questions. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for Perry and Katie and just for the work you've done in their lives to call them to our church and to grace them with the ability to lead us well. I thank you for Perry's humble heart, his servant leadership, the way that he teaches from your word so faithfully, and the way that he points people to the goodness found in your son. And I pray that you would give them strength as they enter into this season as elder and wife, and I pray that you would help Perry to be continue to be faithful to what you've called him to do. And we pray all these things for the glory of your name and the good of your kingdom. And God, we just invite your presence here continued as we worship you and as we partake of communion. We thank you for your son's body who was broken and his blood that was shed for us. And I pray that these next few moments would just be a really sweet time of communing with you and fellowshipping in the power of your spirit as we sing your praises. In your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.